He has risen as he said. Alleluia, alleluia. More people will attend church services on this day than almost any other day of the year. There is a longing in all of us to seek that which is completed in Christ, to see the hope beyond this world, to see our connectedness with the God who loves us. And it all dovetails into this wonderful fulfillment of the promise, which is the resurrection. A couple years ago, I was preaching in my former diocese, the Diocese of La Crosse, and come in, and I wanted to emphasize the sense of the longing for immortality that many, even in our secular society, have, and how it doesn't fulfill the sense of the resurrection. And so as part of the entire service, there is a procession that begins, and what happens is the Knights of and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre go into the choir lofts on either side, and as my wont to do in that cathedral, as I would leave the pulpit and begin to preach right in front of the congregation with my back to the altar. I started in to talk in terms of how the secular society takes a look at this longingness for immortality. How some naturalists will say, don't worry. When you die, your body decomposes and you become elements of the entire nature. You become like the drop of rain again. And then others will say, well, don't worry. You live in your progeny, you live in the children that suddenly have been created in the world. The family continues on, and in that family, so is your immortality. And then third will say, no, it's your mark on history, which will be celebrated long after your death. And I took each one of the points. First of all, I said, I don't want to be a drop of rain. I'm a human being in flesh and blood, who loves, who thinks. I have a unique personality. I don't want to be a drop of rain. Progeny? I'm a celibate. No children. And history, and I emphasize this point, I said, history is fickle. I said, when I die, they will grab me by the ankles, pull my body out of the bishop's residence, throw me into a vehicle, and in less than half a generation, I'm forgotten. Well, I looked at the faces of the people who were there in the congregation. I could see their mouths drop. I said, oh my gosh, I've offended them. Or I've touched them in some type of psychic presence. Then suddenly I looked at the congregation and saw one, two, three people start to stand up, and they started running towards me. I then turned around and discovered that one of the knights had actually had a little bit of a heart arrhythmia, fell into literally the choir stalls, and in order to pull him out, they were dragging him by his ankles. Just to tell you, he's fine. And if there's a time that you have to have some type of medical problem, have it on Easter Sunday when you have two doctors, a critical care nurse, and everybody else at your disposal. But they were literally dragging up by his ankles. And I know some people said, how did the bishop arrange that? But life changes in an instant, doesn't it? We know that. And our ultimate hope is in the person of Christ. Our resurrection celebrates the fact that Christ didn't become a drop of rain. It wasn't his children, because we are his children. It certainly wasn't history. But it was the fact that he lives. The person of Christ lives. And through him, our hope of resurrection dawns. And Peter is preaching in the Acts in the very first reading that we had today. Peter is preaching the resurrection. Why is he preaching the resurrection? Because this is for all of us. This is the fulfillment of the promise. Paul later will say, look, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our preaching is in vain. And we are still caught by sin. But because he has risen from the dead, our life becomes his life. And because of that, his resurrection is our resurrection. But that does not negate the suffering that we have to go through, because Christ himself went through that suffering. That does not negate the suffering and the crosses we would have to bear in this life, because we do. But today we rejoice because there is a fulfillment. There is the life promised us. Not a drop of rain. Not carrying on in terms of our generational histories. Not caught up in the popular biographies written about us. But in our unique life. A unique life formed in the relationship given to us by Jesus. That's why we come together and celebrate. That's why I believe that so many people, at least on this day, suddenly enkindle in themselves a sense to reach out in faith and make that statement and that testimony. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, it must be lived every day. It must be lived every day because that relationship is so unique in what it offers to us. In terms of not only our lives lived in this world, but our lives for the next. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. A blessed Easter to all of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.